I want to key in on what John has said to take us into the next part. And that is the word overcome. I think that that is the descriptive word of what has happened to the children of Israel at this point. They have been overcome. The enemy has been successful. He has brought them into this state of misery that they're in. What is the difference between overcome and overcomer? How little the change. An R. It's the only difference. Overcome or overcomer. At the time these Israelites were living in, there was a man that was an overcomer. God had his eye on that man. He was going on for the Lord. Gideon was an overcomer. He was under, or the angel of God was looking for him. But in the chapter that we're looking in, the Lord sends this prophet. The Lord sends a prophet unto the children of Israel, and he reminds them of the past. He reminds them, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you out. Out of what? The house of what?
Bondage.
The house of bondage. What is it to be in bondage? Somebody help me out. What does that mean?
It's to be under something. Having a control over you and your actions. Mm.
Who was it had control over them?
The Egyptians.
And who was their leader?
Pharaoh.
I brought you out. He says to them, remember where you were. Remember the misery of Egypt. Remember all that took place there. I brought you out of the house of bondage. Look at the next words. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. And then you just mentioned it. Out of the hand of all that what?
Pressed them.
They were under his thumb. What an awful place to be. And here they had come back into this same place. Typically speaking, they were under the thumb of Satan. He's a spirit, I know, but you get the word picture that we would develop. And he is making their life miserable again. He says, I drove them out from before you and I gave you their land. And I think of what the brother over here mentioned, that God comes back in love. I know that. I well recognize that. But he's serious. Am I? Look at this verse. I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But, would he say that to me today? Someone here that would be hearing the voice of the Lord saying to me in the lifestyle that I'm in today, but Chuck, I've done all this for you, but you have not obeyed my voice. He brings me back to feel, doesn't he? What my ways have brought me to.
He reminds them of their past to make the case that it's not fitting that they would be found in this condition again. And you know, again, we've had yesterday baptism, and these are very practical verses. Yesterday, we prayed about it this morning and just prayed that we would not just see this as theory or as just teaching, but that we would apply these things to our lives. Some verses that have spoken to my own heart, and I trust to yours, as we had in Romans 6, just this thought when we spoke of baptism, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Do we reckon that in our lives? Because God has. He that is dead is freed from sin. So just those two thoughts, that's what I reckon when I say I've died with Christ. And so the outcome of that is that I won't find myself impoverished again. And I'll just add to this that many in this room may look at Tony and Chuck and John and others and say that we've never struggled with these things. We don't know what, and that's not true. We know from experience the bitterness, but we know too the times of deliverance in our lives. And so we thank God for that. We thank him for showing us these things. We thank him for his mercy. But it was not fitting that the children of Israel would be found again in bondage when God had freed them from that. They hadn't been obedient to the Jordan River and to the cutting off of the flesh, the rolling away at Gilgal.
You know, as young people who may have a sense of the falling away, the sin that other young people are going through, you might have the tendency to say, well, look what everyone is doing, and why shouldn't I be doing that? And we want to tell you, young people, that God has his eye upon every one of you. And when we look at Gideon here, where there was weakness all around, there was failure, there was sin, the reminder that God has brought before the people of God was that he has done everything that he promised them that he would do. God is faithful. And I want to tell you, in your day, in our day, he is looking for faithful young sisters and faithful young brothers. He's looking for a Gideon. That though there is weakness around, though there may be young people doing things that are dishonoring the Lord, though they may think they're getting away with it, and we're telling you that you can't get away with it with God, he is looking for you to be that good, faithful young man or young sister. Because here it is in verse 11, there came an angel of Jehovah, and he sat under this oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. Why was he threshing out wheat by the winepress? Because he needed to do that to hide it from the Midianites. The Midianites wanted to come in and destroy and take everything away from the people of God, and they had been successful in doing this. And it says the people of God were greatly impoverished. But there was a young man in the midst of the impoverishment of the people of God that was able to produce food, wheat, something that would encourage the heart of God, something that in a natural way could sustain himself and his home. And I want to tell you, young people, you have to determine, like a Daniel who said he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I want to tell you that you may not recognize this, but the reason why Gideon's name is here is that God took note of him. And he will take note of you in your day if you are faithful to him.